good. And they're like, no, call back in 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, friends, and you're listening to EBC Radio 1170 AM, Aapki Choice. And I am your host, Alka. Today, we have the last episode of the Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing COVID-19 Response weekly series. Today's episode is entitled Family Success Centers, Community Building for Those Impacted by COVID-19. I want to welcome your host, Noel Davis, Program Manager of Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program responding to COVID-19 through March of 2021. Welcome, Noel, on EBC Radio. How are you today?
Thank you, Alka. I'm very well. And hello once again, and good afternoon to our EBC listeners.
Well, Noel, we know you have been on EBC Radio many times, but those who have not heard you, can you remind our listeners one more time about the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program?
Yes, thank you, Alka, and thank you to EBC Studios for providing us this platform one last time to reach our South Asian community in the northern and central New Jersey area of our program coverage. As a reminder then to our listeners, New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, CCP, began its response to COVID-19 in April of 2020 through 12 nonprofit providers and social service entities in collaboration with New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Disaster and Terrorism Branch, through a FEMA SAMHSA grant. Our Hope and Healing program at Catholic Charities is a partnership comprised of teams located within Catholic Charities Archdiocese of Newark, Diocese of Metuchen, Diocese of Patterson, and Diocese of Trenton, which is the lead partner. The program is currently responding to COVID-19 pandemic into March of this coming year, actually 2022, with disaster response crisis counseling, which is a neighbor-to-neighbor approach to disaster response work. Our program is comprised of regular community members, not mental health clinicians, and they're just trained in this CCP model to be able to offer short-term peer-based emotional support, information and referral pertaining to a given disaster, so in this case COVID-19. And so in the weekly series that we have had here on EBC Radio, we focused on improving mental health and resiliency and different resources that may be needed by those impacted by COVID-19 and all of us living in this new and weird environment created by this pandemic. And we do look to specifically tailor that content to our South Asian community listening whenever we can.
Thank you. We have been so happy to have this series on EBC Radio. Noel, can you introduce our guest for today's show, talking about Family Success Centers, which I understand are community building resources for our listeners?
Yes, it's my pleasure to introduce Rosella Roman, Director of Mobile Family Success Center of Middlesex County. Rosella is bilingual in English and Spanish language, holds a master's degree in social work from Rutgers State University, and she's been working with the Family Success Center Network for 9 years in New Brunswick and then in Middlesex County. And I will add that she also helped to provide crisis counseling during the early days of our Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing Program in our response to COVID-19. So I can tell you from personal experience, she's flexible, she's effective, she's a team player. Welcome, Rosella.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Noel. And I'm happy to be here to talk to you about my passion in helping children and families to thrive through communication and participatory action.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I'm happy to hear that. So, Rosella, can you start us off with an overview of your program?
Sure. So the Mobile Family Success Center, also known as MFSC, is a Department of Catholic Charities Diocese of Metuchen. We offer free activities for families, children, seniors, parents in 5 different municipalities within Middlesex County. So you'll see us in Edison, Piscataway, Saraval, North Brunswick, and East Brunswick. Majority of our activities are based on 7 core services that range from health, employment, housing, advocacy, general information, and parent-child activities. So some of the things that we work for is we collaborate with community providers to facilitate these types of workshops and activities. Everything that we do is completely free of charge to families, youth, and seniors. Our mission is to strengthen our community and build social connections, which involves connecting families to resources and, more importantly, to each other. So So I know one question that we are frequently asked is like, so how do we reach these centers, right? So we do collaborate with the township as well to, you know, support some of the programs that the townships are doing. But we also, you know, identify pockets within the community that might need our services.
That's great. And so many different services that you're offering to the community. I would like to hear a little bit more about what types of activities that you do to strengthen your community, if you can give us some examples.
Sure, of course. So we do offer some educational events to the general community, such as like health-related topics on like diabetes or breast cancer, or, you know, staying healthy, especially now with COVID-19. But we typically try to focus on some other events within the community that are sometimes target-specific to certain populations in efforts to bring them together. So a good example of that is that we offered a fun art series or a Fundamentals of Art to our teen group, which has been requested in, it might be back in the month of February due to popular demand. And for our seniors, because we do know that sometimes they get left out when it comes to certain programming, we've been offered not only bingo, but we offered like Zumba-friendly activities and also different self-care strategies for them to be not only connected with themselves, but be being connected within the community as well.
That sounds great. Like a lot of fun, actually. But I'm sure fun and games is a big part of it, not necessarily the entire goal. Am I correct?
Yes, yes. Majority of things that we do are fun. They're exciting. They bring the families together. But if you think about it, fun is a great way to bring, you know, the community, to create healthy, supported networks, right? Connecting people. So another example I could highlight is with our senior group that we did, we do collaborate with our volunteer. She's also a community health ambassador. She's also a renowned artist, and she started discussing about Vincent Van Gogh and did like an art educational series about his work, his personal life, and his struggle with depression, along with other mental health issues. So why is this important? So it's important because we had one particular senior who, you know, after coming to these art series, felt inspired, and, you know, she started leaving her home for the first time since the pandemic began. And the neat thing about this is not only did she come out and left her comfort zone, but she started building friendship with other seniors who kind of felt the same way. And they're like, how, you know, is it going to be safe for us to come out? So this particular event not only provided her with informal support, but it also provided her with the ability to come to a safe location and still be able to conquer her own fears and mental blocks.
That's great. I understand. So you're kind of building a come for the fun, but stay for the friendship type of environment, which I think is great. I think it can be really easy to take those types of connections for granted, perhaps over the last 2 years, you know, since the pandemic. We've all gotten, you know, maybe sometimes that we had with our friends or family that was planned for this fun had to be put aside because of, you know, some of their health concerns. But now we're realizing that, you know, we really miss out on those connections for our mental health and for our sense of well-being. Would you think that that's true?
Definitely, definitely. So the pandemic definitely has made it difficult for us to create these types of bonds that we're looking for, right? Fostering these relationships and to continue building those rapport. But what we do is that we follow the CDC guidelines. For example, we provide masks if individuals need them. We do temperature checks for in-person events or even for our volunteers who recently helped us wrap gifts for the holidays. And we do this to ensure that everyone's safe, you know, both kids, families, and anyone that is attending any of our programs. So a special thing about this is that, you know, we want to have other people join in a common activity. So, for instance, we were lucky enough to hold our father-daughter dance actually on December 3rd. So it's the first time since we done something in person and in a large scale, but not so large scale. We were graciously donated dresses from a children's place. So brand new dresses for the girls. So as soon as they left, they all took home these dresses, and the dads were able to take home some pajama sets and cookies that we were donated. So that's something that you don't hear so often, you know, having dads come together. But as a result of this successful activity, the moms were like, what about us? You know, they did sense a little bit of jealousy, but it was good, right? Because now they were like, you know what, we're going to gather together and plan our mother and son dance, and hopefully, you know, we're able to host this in person. We try to, you know, meet where the families are and try to listen to some of their needs, and that's how our programming is developed. So if you see our calendars online or even in person, if you did get a hard copy, you'll see that our activities vary from week to week, month to month, year to year. And then some other activities, you know, there's it's an annual event, just like the father-daughter dance.
That's great. So I think that, you know, specifically for fathers, as you say, there seems to be sometimes just not enough activities out there to bring dads together to bond and be present with their families. So I think that's really great. Are you offering other regular supports for fathers or just these events?
No. So we do have other activities that are being offered throughout the year, different fatherhood-related engagements and workshops. So our goal is to try to engage everyone, and we realize that sometimes dads, you know, get left out. So we have our parent advisory board, which is open to the community, regardless of where you live. We even have families from, you know, New York and others from other states join us. Right now, this particular meeting is done virtually on Zoom. So we get to hear the family's feedback, the community's feedback, and make those activities happen. So for the dads, we had one particular dad said that, you know what, why don't we start a men's club? You know, some of the needs and concerns that we have are different from families, different from the moms. And now we have our annual men's club that happens every last Tuesday of the month from 6 to 7 via Zoom. And it's nice to see, you know, the camaraderie. It's nice to see, you know, to hear dads and hear their concerns and say, like, hey, you know, the COVID-19 impacted us differently. Or we had one dad in particular share, like, you know, my wife is the breadwinner. I just lost my job. And, you know, it's hard to deal with that when, you know, as an individual, you were so used to providing, right? So hearing that, it brings a different light, right? So that's being facilitated by my coworker who is a male and who could kind of relate to them.
That's great. It's all about bringing the community together, as you say. So maybe you can tell us then, before we go any further, how can listeners join you? How can they become a part of your community?
Sure. So different families, community members, local stakeholders, they can access our free services or programming through our Catholic Charities of Metuchen website. It's under www.ccdom.org. They can also email us at mfscmiddlesex@ccdom.org, or they could always reach out to us via phone at 732-387-1220. And as I mentioned before, all the services are completely free. And although we do cover the five townships that I mentioned before, everyone's welcome. So I forgot to mention that, yes, we are mobile, but there's also three other family success centers in Middlesex County. So families could actually visit all of them. One of the things that we do is that we do not compete with each other as success centers. On the contrary, we kind of highlight, you know, some of the activities that the other centers are doing. And we work for families. Sometimes a family that lives in a particular area might be a lot closer to that success center. Not that discourages them from coming to ours, but we want to ensure that, you know, they do have the means of transportation or the accessibility to attend whatever programming it is that they choose to.
Oh, that's great. Sounds like good collaboration. But it's an interesting point that you bring up, Rosella, that you are a mobile family success center. So what really does that mean, being mobile?
It's nice that you asked. So as a mobile center, we do get asked sometimes So, Rosetta, do you drive around in an RV or, you know, what does that look like as a mobile center, right? So we are unique that we are the only center on wheels or that actually drives to where families are, where families already congregate. Like I mentioned before, similar to our sister centers in the state of New Jersey, we offer activities where they offer their activities in a particular building or setting. Mobile Family Success Center goes where families already congregate, such as libraries, you'll see us at the senior centers, community centers, YMCA, schools, parks, any place that has a welcoming space that would allow us to offer free programming for the community, we will most likely be there. With that being said, I definitely encourage everyone to, you know, reach out to us if you want to partner with us or, you know, do an activity at your site. We are very open. We're very welcoming. And again, everything we do is for the community.
That's great. And it's really a very novel idea. And I'm sure that it actually gives your organization a lot of unique opportunities for kind of different events if you're going out places. So what are some recent or particularly interesting partnerships and events that you've hosted?
Oh, so a great example of this is this year during COVID, we actually collaborated with Keep Middlesex Moving. It is a nonprofit organization that focuses on like bike safety, pedestrian safety, and you know just quality of air. And we hosted numerous bike rodeos in the community. So what this particular event looked like was that we offered obstacle courses and different challenges on the routes to help teach children and also adults different biking techniques, right? Like learning how to pivot and stop, learning proper helmet fitting, and more importantly, understanding signals, right? Something as simple as, you know, stop and go when you see the red light, you know, make sure you know how to stop. And that's important because, you know, we see a lot of our youth riding bicycles, which is nice, right? Because of COVID, now they're getting out, they're getting some exercise. But we also want them to be safe. So we're able to provide this type of activities. And the neat thing about this is that we were able to raffle off brand new bikes and or gently used bikes that were refurbished. And along with those raffles, we also provided free helmets. We did other community-based raffles, for example, tickets to Piscataway's new, it's not a water theme park, but it's their new spray park. That's what it's called.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So you're really providing a lot to the community, it sounds like. Definitely a very unique event there. I've never heard of a bike rodeo, to be honest with you. But I'm also wondering, with all that diversity that's going on and the communities that you're providing for, are you doing anything specific for members of the South Asian community who might be listening today?
Yes. Actually, Mobile Family Success Center works closely with families in the South Asian community. We collaborate with 16 partners or even with some parents in the community to offer these types of workshops or events. So a great example is that we partnered with the Cervo Library to host our first Holi Festival. And we kind of shared with the community about traditional food, dances, and music. And even some of the teenagers that were part of the committee were teaching us, like, different techniques and why, you know, colors mean a certain thing. And then also, two of our community health ambassadors who are parent leaders, they actually focus on creating content and workshop that are tailored in different languages. For example, it's either, you know, conducted in Hindi, Punjabi, or Gujarati. We actually have, for the month of January, we have a parent leader who's going to be making samosas. Virtually, so that's another way where we, you know, try to incorporate, you know, diversity and culture into our programming. In the past, we did have someone who did a virtual video of making tandoori rice, and to this day, we have some family members who now prefer making this type of rice because they incorporate all these different spices and vegetables that their family didn't eat before.
That's great. So you're, you know, kind of creating a larger community from these existing communities. I think that's really beautiful. And I think it also makes it clear that your organization is very malleable, very responsive to what the community presents as something that they want to learn about. So I do think that this probably made it a little easier for your organization, maybe as opposed to others, to respond to COVID-19. Am I right about that?
Yes. As you know, Noelle, Mobile Family Success Center has been partnering with the NJ Hope and Healing to provide additional programming and services targeted to those who have been impacted by COVID-19. So in the early stages, we were providing free face masks, hand sanitizers, thermometer checks. And when the pandemic first started, we were handing out monthly toiletry bags to the community along with food boxes that were donated by Replenish. So the toiletry bags had not only the face masks, but it also had basic household items like toilet paper, paper towels, bleach, detergent, things that families could definitely use. And more recently, MFSC is collaborating with the Visiting Nurse Association, also known as the VNA, those very pop-up clinics in the community. So we just had a pop-up clinic at the North Brunswick Senior Center on December 9th, and the next one is going to be on January 6th from 3:30 to 5:30 at the Piscataway Community Center. So it is open, and we continue to provide COVID-19 resources along with, you know, supportive services that, you know, our peer educators can assist families and the community as a whole.
That's really great. I'm so glad to hear that because, you know, it's just been so important for my program to have partners like yours that are able to pivot their normal activities to address these new needs that are resulting from COVID. And that's a big part of why I did want to have you here to showcase what Family Success Centers do in the final episode of this series on ABC Radio. Because I want our listeners to know that even after this program closes in March and the Hope and Healing program phases out its services, there are providers in your local community that can address your needs. They're just a phone call away. So speaking of which, Roselle, if you can remind our listeners once again how to get in touch with your Mobile Family Success Center.
Sure. So a great way for our listeners to contact us or even learn more about what we do in the community, and more importantly, to get involved, they could always reach out to us at 732-387-1220, or they could email us at mfscmiddlesex@ccdom.org.
Okay, great. And so as we close, we are running out of time, but you can share with us a very quick success story to give us a little hope during the holidays, if you would.
Definitely. So I did briefly mention about our community health ambassador. So we do have an additional parent who wanted to give back to the community by sharing the importance of active engagement with his family, his grandchildren, and fellow seniors. So one of the things that he's done is that he was building these lasting relationships, and his goal was to help reduce adverse childhood experiences, or also known as ACEs. And what he did is that he was able to disseminate this information about his culture and involve his immediate family into community outreach opportunities.